So we've got a couple microphones here. So kids, are you guys ready to meet a friend from Brazil? Yeah? Hey, and guess what? This isn't just for the people sitting up here. It's also for all those kids out there too, huh? Yeah. The big kids that are in the back. Joseph, is this for the big kids in the back too?
Yes.
Nathan says yes. He knows what's happening. So who else needs a mic? You guys? Tom. Isn't it usually you?
So, kids, we're going to do a little thing that we call soaking. How many of you have done soaking before? Okay, some of you have, some of you haven't. Soaking is where we sit very quietly in front of the Lord, like our fellow here is, what is his name? Pedro. Our fellow Pedro, our friend Pedro is here, and he's just relaxing in the Lord. He's laying back in the presence of the Lord. He's being very quiet. He's letting the Lord speak to him. He's got some nice music going on in the background. And God is pouring out like water on a sponge. God is pouring out himself into Pedro's mind and into his heart and into his spirit. And Pedro's having this amazing experience. He's hearing God speak. He's seeing visions of what God is trying to say to him. He's experiencing the presence of God in his body, and that's what soaking is all about. So we're going to try a little bit of soaking, the children here in front, and everybody else sitting out there. We're all going to soak together. Mike is going to play a lovely little song, I believe in Portuguese, the Portuguese version of this song. And while he's playing, I'm asking you just to close your eyes, just like Pedro. Okay, pretend his eyes are closed. Get very comfortable. If you need to lie down flat, that's fine. You can put your head all the way to the ground if you like to. And just quiet your mind, quiet your heart, and let the Lord speak to you, okay? Okay. After we soak, we'll ask you if God said anything to you. You can share with us what God said to you. It might be a vision, it might be a word, okay? So just a few minutes and we'll soak for a little bit together. We'll all do this together. Everybody here will be soaking together.
Aleluia, aleluia.
Eu te amo, Jesus, levantamos nossas mãos, levantamos teu nome santo. Oh, eu te amo, Jesus, levantamos nossas mãos, levantamos. Te adorarei, aleluia, aleluia. Oh, te adorarei, oh, te adorarei, aleluia.
Really well with soaking. We taught soaking to several hundred children while we were there in Brazil, and they weren't quite as quiet as you all were. Did anyone receive a word or a picture from the Lord as you were soaking? Anyone get a word or picture? Yeah, Alex, do you want to share that a little bit? What did you see, sweetie? Can you put it into words?
My dad.
You saw your daddy. Oh, that's sweet. All right, sweetie, good. Anyone else hear anything or see anything? Jojo?
I saw my great-grandma.
You saw great-grandma? Yeah, cool. Anybody else? Yeah? What did you see or hear?
You saw your uncle.
All right, well, it's relative today here. Anybody hear anything? Did God say anything to you? Oh, hey, Joshy.
I saw lots of pixels of God.
You did? You saw lots of pictures of God? Wow, what did that look like?
I forget.
You forget. That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, it's you're very blessed to receive a picture from God, because that's God's revealing who He is to you. That's amazing. That's really cool. Nathan, did you have something you wanted to share?
I saw a dinosaur.
Well, that's special. Yeah. That's a classic. Yes, oh, Tiana. What did you see, Tiana?
I'm a kid, right? I can share. I saw a picture of Jesus' throne, and as we were singing Te Adorare, I had a basket of flowers, and I was just throwing them up and just, like, celebrating and dancing around as I was singing the song.
Cool. dancing, celebrating, flowery kind of vision. That's really great. Anybody else? Oh, all right. Come here, Kayshawn. What did you see?
I saw a monkey doing a Michael Jackson dance.
Monkey doing Michael Jackson. Wow, we've seen it all today. Can someone else share that? Because I'm not really clued into Daniel's testimonies. Does anyone want to share Daniel's testimony?
When we were doing soaking with some of the kids there at City of God, most of the time they would come up and say that they saw things like, I saw a mango, I saw a banana, and we're just like, oh, okay. But there was one boy, his name was Daniel, and he came up and he shared that he had seen a picture of some people that had been fighting, and then as the love of the Father of the Lord was released and what he saw, they stopped fighting and they all began like hugging each other. So it was just a tremendous word of basically the Father's heart coming in and just renewing, you know, relationships and circumstances and just his love being poured out through what he saw.
So kids, that's pretty cool. And you can do that at home with your moms and dads and just spend time with the Lord. And all you big kids can do that at home. You can spend time with yourself or your mom and your dad or your roommates or whatever. We really had some neat times where God was speaking to some of the children. But one more thing before we go, guys. I believe there's a couple birthdays in the house. Who's having a birthday? I think there's one today. Josh Jacquet. And then is there any other birthdays in the house? Does anyone else have a birthday soon? Oh, Isaac?
Yeah.
Oh, Isaac. Who else? Kayshawn's was last Wednesday, wherever he is, back there. So maybe we could just sing happy birthday to them, and then we're going to send the Kingdom Kids back to Kingdom Kids Land. The junior high is actually going to stay with us today. And then also some of the team. Hey, guys, do you want to hear some more from Brazil? Huh, kids? Yeah? Well, guess what? The team's going to come back to your classroom and share some more of what God did in Brazil, okay? So let's sing happy birthday. I will turn that over to Mike on the microphone for Josh and Isaac and Kayshawn. Anyone else claiming a birthday? Don, okay. Right. When is it, Don? January 6th, all right. So we just passed it. All right. And okay, so let's go.
Okay, here we go.
And Jamie, Mike wasn't able to sing it in the flesh in person. So we'll include Jamie too.
Jamie,
there was this lovely Instagram or Skype call from Brazil, and he was beaming, and I talked to my wife. So let's sing. Let's talk.
Oh, Pastor Bill's birthday is coming up.
Oh, and Pastor Bill's birthday is on the 25th,
Brittany.
Which is Saturday.
Okay. Here we go.
And Brittany Rogers, too, I hear.
Brittany Rogers.
Right here. And also today, let us not forget Paul Perilozzi.
Paul Perilozzi.
Woo! For those who know Paul, we should tape this just for him and send it to him. All right.
Ready?
Go for it.
Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Josh, Jamie, Pastor Bill, Isaac, Kayshawn, Don, Brittany. Happy birthday to you. God's love brought you here. God's love brought you here. And happy birthday. God bless you. God's love brought you here.
All right, kids, head back to your classes. And you'll have some team members coming back there in just a couple minutes. So, BJ, TJ, you guys are first in the back rooms. Yep. So, Blanky, your Blanky's somewhere close, I'm sure. I think it's by Andrew. There you go. All right, Mom's going to take you back to the classroom. So, well, it's very good to be back with you. I kind of like this weather. It was about 100 degrees down there. 90 to 100 in general. nice and toasty, warm. So that was fun. But we really had a good good adventure of a trip. You're going to hear some more about it in just a second. Did also want to give you a big hello and hi from Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat. We were able to see them the last few days of our trip and minister with them and go into the favela and work there a little bit. So they send their love and their greetings, and they will be no doubt giving us some updates of what's happening with them. I know that they were in a meeting with some Iris bases on Friday, and then with Iris Ministries, and then Saturday they were going to something with Heidi Baker in a conference that they're having, and they're going to be traveling. Well, before that, today they're actually ministering two different times, two different, either the same church or two different churches, morning and evening, and we'll be heading to Rio de Janeiro, Rio. I believe this next week they're going to be ministering in Iris's mission school that they're having in Rio. It's about a 6 or 8 week mission school they're having, and the Mel Tari is going to be there, so they're going to get to connect up with him, and Heidi's going to be ministering there, and she's asked if our pastors could minister as well and share with the missionaries that are coming in, the students that are coming in to be trained up. So that's kind of some things to pray for in this coming week. Trip to Rio, ministering as we speak. Well, actually, they're probably done ministering, maybe. It's 3 hours ahead, so let's just depends on how long that church service is going. And then tonight they'll be ministering. So really keep them in your prayers. And also Inez, our wonderful translator, if you guys remember her from Relentless Pursuit, she has kind of injured her knee a little bit and needs some prayer for that. It's shown some signs of improvement as the team's prayed. But if you could keep praying for her knee, it's her right knee. And Pastor Jerseo also sends his love, his blessing. He's so glad that you all sent us and sent our pastors. So they are very excited to have us there. And I will let Angie kick this off with sharing a little bit about the trip. And, you know, just as you're listening to this, it's more than a missionary group of testimony. It's actually life-changing. It's about encounter, about experience. It's about what the Lord did and what he's able to do in your life, what he's able to do in our lives continuing, and what he's able to do in this area. So listen in for those things and take notes, because there's going to be a lot of gold nuggets in here.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to remember to keep talking and not pause waiting for my invisible interpreter to interpret for me. But we had an amazing, awesome time. As you guys saw a little bit this morning, a lot of what we did was ministry to the children that were there at Heliopolis and City of God, the two favela slums that we worked in. And we would normally start the day with worship, and then we would do soaking with the kids, and then we would do, like, other impartation. We taught on, like, the armor of God and things like that. And I'm not really going to be talking too much about, like, what we did, because that was in the updates. But instead, what I wanted to kind of start with and open with was basically the heart of the Father towards these children. I've been on various different mission trips before. I've worked with children before. But there was something different about these children in Brazil. And for me, what I think it came down to a choice between ministering to these children out of the flesh, out of the natural that goes out to them, and ministering out of the Father heart of God and how he sees them and the way that he wanted to pour out his love to them. For anyone who's been to Brazil before, there is a spirit of orphan thinking over that country. And so you really see it in the kids. A lot of these kids, they come from families that where they might have 5, 6, you know, brothers and sisters, no fathers in a picture anywhere. Mothers are, some of them take really good care of the children. Some of them are very neglected. And so your heart goes out when you see these kids. And you just want to be able to, you want to be able to take them home with you, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I love this kid, and this kid is so special, and he's so cute, and I want to take him home, I want to put him in my suitcase. But the father's heart is that instead of trying to rescue them out of their circumstance, to love them inside of their circumstances so that they can touch and reach the people around them. Because if you remove everything. Like, if you would remove these kids out of the situations that they're in, the situations would never change. Because for there to be transformation, it has to come in the circumstance for you to see the change in the circumstance. So for myself, I decided that, you know, I could think about it in the natural and I could be like, man, these kids, they're really hurting and, you know, they're really disruptive and they don't listen to us. And, you know, you can look at it from the natural perspective, or you can see the love, the heart of the Father inside of them. You can see what the Lord has placed inside of them. There was two kids in particular that really touched my heart for two different reasons. The first one was from Heliopolis, and his name was Davidson. Davidson is such a special boy. He is so anointed by God. You could just look at him and you could see the light of Jesus living inside of his eyes. And he had such a call of leadership on his life. And it was really hard for me personally when we left to leave Davidson there, because he was so special to me. Like, this boy would just walk up to me every time he'd see me and he'd just want to hug me. They call you Chia and Chu, basically, you know, auntie, uncle. And so it really touched a place of my heart that has never really connected with children very deeply before, because I was kind of coming from the natural. Like, you know, well, these aren't my kids. They're really cute. Yeah, take them back, you know. So, but for me, this trip was a little bit different because I chose to go low in humility and let the Lord work some things out in my life. And when he did that, it really... he broke my heart for what breaks his, so that he could put his heart inside of me. And so it was just amazing to see him in these children. The other boy that really kind of spoke to my heart was a boy named Gabriel in the City of God favela. And Gabriel was a little bit different than Davidson. He wasn't exactly the most, he didn't come from a very good family life. He had really tough circumstances and situations that had hit him at a very early age. And so when we first met him, he never smiled. He was disruptive, and he, from the natural, you're thinking, oh my gosh, this kid, we need to, you know, put him out. He's hitting the other kids, you know. And so, like, in love, though, there was a transformation that you could see in his life. He really connected with Justin. And I don't know whether you'll hear anything out of Justin about him. You probably will. But he really connected with Justin. And there was just a shift and a transformation that I watched over the 2 weeks that we were there, where you had a very hurting child who didn't want to trust anybody. He didn't want to put his heart out there. And by the end of this, he was, like, smiling and laughing. He learned how to, like, really, like, you know, just trust people a lot more than what it could have been if any of the team members that were on the team wasn't there. So it's really important just to listen to the heart of the Father and really connect in with his heart, because if you don't connect with his heart, then you miss it. You just miss so many fine details, like things that you thought that you knew before. You just miss if you're not willing to just shift and embrace what he's saying and what he wants to do.
Well, good morning, or bon dia. No. This trip was such an incredible experience. It wrecked me so much. Like, once I got there, I met the kids. It just broke my heart. It was cool because, like, going out, I kind of felt the Lord tell me, you know, to go with expectancy, to, you know, expecting him to move, expecting, you know, great things to happen, expecting miracles. And I can truthfully say, the Lord blew my expectation down of the bottle. But it was so cool. Like, I mean, we did a lot of, obviously, as you just heard, a lot of children's ministry and of the teaching and lessons, and really connected with so many children. Miss them so much. But one of the cool things and cool experiences that I had that really kind of touched my heart because it was new for me was during a couple of the days towards the end of our time there, we did it throughout the weeks, but I'm going to say we were doing a house-to-house ministry. And so we were going through the favelas, you know, talking to people, praying for them. And I would help pray for them, but I didn't really have any specific, you know, things at that point in time. But then we got to the vast house when we were at City of God. And our team went in there, and we prayed for the, I guess it was the grandmother. I think it was the, well, there was one woman that was in there, older woman. She was evil. I think she was a mother there. It was her house, and then she had, like, her daughter and then her brother there. Our team prayed for her, and then a lot of them went out, and I ended up being the last one in there just because of how things ended up. And as I was talking to the one guy in there, to the brother of this woman, I found out that he had been going to church, but there in the area, but he had never accepted Jesus as a savior. He just didn't know how, and he just never had. And so I got to have the really cool experience of just reading him to the Lord, you know, like reading him in the prayer to accept Jesus into his heart, to really bring him back to the Father and, you know, into his love. And it was just incredible. It really touched my heart because I had never felt comfortable really with doing it before because I just didn't feel confident in it. And it's just one testimony of like what the Lord has done in my heart during this trip. Just so much. It's been so much of a change. So it's true. I mean, as Angie said, when you're willing to go low, the Lord just does so much. He just moves so mightily.
Hello. So good to see you all again and be back. One thing the Lord did in my heart just showed me such an enjoyment of his presence. And I had some amazing encounters. During the time we were there, there was a group of girls, and it was about four girls and a guy that came in from the Harvest School of Ministry. And we just ended up having a really good time with the girls. We'd soak, I was in the room, and we would, you know, just soak with them and laugh and have drinking parties and just saw, like, amazing, like, the Lord walk in the room and just, you know, dump these gold buckets on us. And that was one thing, the theme that the Lord kept speaking to me was gold dust all on this trip. And the first morning that we were in worship, he just showed me, you know, that my spirit, like, if we have Jesus, it's so pure, it's pure gold. And I just wanted to draw that out in people, like, everybody has that gold inside of them. And so gold was a big theme for me. And so on Thursday, it was the day that Mike and Andrew had taught on worship. The Lord was speaking to me that morning, like, in our soaking time, soaking time, he had come and just said, okay, I'm not just going to, you know, come in the room, give you a kiss on the cheek, and have a little dance with you and leave. I'm going to stay with you. And we also were studying John 15. That was our memory verse, which talks about remaining in him, abiding in him. And so presence was just a big deal for me. And so as we were ministering at City of God that afternoon, I just had this moment, like somebody had given me this toddler, and I was holding her, and she fell asleep. And I'm sitting there just holding her, and this, all of a sudden, you know, they're teaching about worship, and all of a sudden, I see this gold dust on her face and on her arms, and then I saw it on myself, and I just had, I'm like, Lord, you are here, you're right here with us, and you love these children so much, and it was just so special. I mean, I felt like all the, you know, the just being in the Lord's presence had opened my eyes to be able to have that encounter and just a more of a, like, Lord, I'm your hands, I'm your feet, I'm going to love these children. And at that day, as we were leaving, there was two little girls that were very special to my heart, and the mothers would basically come and just drop off the children, like, for the afternoon, and sometimes they didn't come back to get them. And so these two little girls were walking home to their house. You know, they're walking past all the drug dealing, and it just, it breaks your heart because it's such a dark, dark place. And I think Gabriel was crying. He didn't want us to leave. And just everything together, I mean, as we were leaving, I just started weeping. I'm like, Lord, you know, these children. On one hand, I was sad. On the other hand, it was the presence of God was so real and so strong that it was overwhelming. So it was definitely a day that just, it was so amazing just to see with the eyes of the Lord and look at these children. And, yeah. It was special, so.
One word, wow. It was just an amazing, amazing experience being in Brazil. It was the first time I'd ever been to Brazil. I've been on other trips to Africa and China a number of times, but this trip was so special, was so precious, and just there are a couple of things that really just grabbed my heart. One of them being at the City of God favela. You have Heliopolis, and then you have City of God, and City of God. It's a little more, my understanding, it's a little more dangerous, it's way more run down. Heliopolis is pretty run down as well, and you're going into, you know, makeshift homes that are just, I mean, very confining. And, you know, we had a chance to go inside of you know, homes and give us coffee. Brazilian coffee is pretty good. and it was just, they were so welcoming, so hospitable, and living in practically nothing. I mean, you have rats to deal with, cockroaches, and, they're so content living in that. You're, you know, walking day in and day out in the midst of drug traffickers right there, and we're saying, "Hey, bom dia, bom tarde," you know, and they'd smile right back at you. But just our very, you know, presence being there, you know, God used that. God was, you know, touching even those people as well. And I know some of them have mentioned that the children. Specifically in City of God, there was a real sense of need there. I mean, many of them had, as Angie was saying earlier, have grown up without fathers. You know, there were two in particular where a boy and a girl that had, when they were real little, saw their dad shot in front of them, you know, killed. And it's just, I cannot even imagine that, you know, and here they are, and they're coming each week programa, we called it. They're coming each day. They're receiving love. They're learning about Jesus and being prayed for, soaking all of that. And just to see that is just, I mean, it just broke my heart. Of course, Gabriel was definitely one who touched me, you know, and I mean, the first day or two he's kicking and, you know, beating on us, you know, on me, cause he took like a bag of chips and I said, no, you can't have two. You can only have one. And he did not like that too much, but then later on, he just kept wanting me to hold him, and I'm trying to hold two at one time and everything. And so just being there, and there's another kid named Victor, just a real sweet kid. And, just there, you know, we're giving him piggyback rides. We're throwing him at the air, you know, throwing him up in the air, putting him on our shoulders. And Pastor Joseo really said, you know, some of them have never had that, you know, that physical contact. They've never had that kind of love and affection. And so we are Jesus to them, you know, just the way when he was imparting to us one day. And it was just amazing, you know, looking in their eyes. And even coming back yesterday, I was having flashbacks. You know, I'm in a restaurant. I'm just like, here I was in a slum yesterday, you know, or the day before. And it's just, you know, getting to love on those kids was just absolutely life-changing. I mean, changed my life. The other thing that was really cool is one of the last days on our, we did house-to-house ministry as well, which was really awesome. Basically, just go house-to-house and, you know, just ask if people needed prayer, share Jesus with them. And at Heliopolis, it was our last house-to-house outreach. And this is actually something that Tom had pointed out, but it was the very last house at the end of the alley. You couldn't go anymore. It was just like it was just getting narrower and narrower and narrower. You couldn't get any more, couldn't get past that. And at first, it didn't seem like there was anybody home when we knocked. And then we were turning around to leave, and a lady came in, smiling, real nice lady. And we had a chance to just share the gospel with her. We found out she didn't know Jesus. She, you know, was honest and said, "Yeah, I don't really know him." So we just, you know, had a chance to really just lay out the gospel and just the fact that Jesus came, died on the cross. You know, sin separates us from God, you know, but when we accept Jesus by faith, then that sin is removed from our lives and we have that relationship with him. And so as we were just kind of sharing that with her, she was just so listening so intently. And her name was Jessica, I believe. And so at the end of that, she actually received Jesus in her heart. It was amazing, and she was the very last person at the last house, the end of the alley, and it was just kind of prophetic, you know, just the very last person. So there's just, I mean, there's so many more amazing things you're going to hear about, but just, you know, one thing I want to, I guess, offer to everyone here is just, you know, the Lord really wants to break our hearts, you know, for the lost. They're all around us here, you know, our coworkers, our friends, our families, you know, people that are hurting. You know, he wants to give us eyes to see just right in front of us, the need right in front of us, and to not overlook that, you know, to really be mindful to actually do something about it. It's one thing to just kind of see, oh, yeah, that's not, you know, this person is hurting, this person is suffering from this ailment. Oh, that's nice, you know, but to actually do something about it, to go and pray for them, to actually reach out to them. We're called to do that as Christians, as believers, because we are the hands and the feet of Jesus. So, amen.
Awesome. Mike talked a little bit about Gabriel, and Gabriel taught me something that was so valuable and life-changing for me. As Mike mentioned, Gabriel and his older brother, Gabriel's on the right over here. They come from a very broken home. The father's in prison. The mom is in and out of prison. I believe maybe some prostitution and stuff. And they don't have that. They don't know that what it is to have that family life and to be loved. So I remember the first day, even Tom and I put on a drama about, I don't know, I get beat up, I'm on the ground, and I get healed. Well, when Gabriel comes up and he sees someone beating on me, he came up and he started, like, kicking me, too. And I was like, I think there's more for Gabriel. So for the next 2 weeks, there was such a strong compassion in my heart for Gabriel. And I every moment I got, I spent time with him. I got to hold him. I got to, you know, try to speak what Portuguese I knew to him. And, you know, I saw some changes, and it was really encouraging. But the second to last day that we were there, it did something to me, because when I was holding him, he finally looked in my eyes, because he had a hard time looking in people's eyes and whatnot. And he looked at me, and he was in Portuguese, he was saying, you know, something about my eyes. I knew what he was saying. He was pointing, and then he was looking at my face, and he was looking at my hands. And I know that he saw something different in me, and he saw something change inside of me, because this whole trip, I know that God, for each one of us, we came to give. We came to sacrifice, to change the land, to see healings, to bring, you know, more love to the community. But God's so faithful that he also brings that back to us. And everything that we share here today, it's for us as well. It's for us to change, to learn something from it. And so I knew that what happened in my heart, that it was valuable. And just seeing the change in the kids, and experiencing that, I'm like, wow, God, you want to change everything inside of us, and you want to rework everything. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm just so excited about how God wants to use these experiences, these testimonies, to really touch our lives and, you know, really change stuff, even behind closed doors. When we go behind closed doors, I think we're going to be different from that. So receive everything today, and, you know, just keep going after him.
Okay. Oh, well, God's so great. And I just wanted to say how happy I am just to be back and to be here with you guys. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, I just want to go back to Frontline. I miss everybody so much. And I was like, how early can I get here? I got here like 30 minutes early. I'm like, oh, I miss you. So I just want to say I love you guys. I just we're family, and I just am so happy just to be back and see you all. It makes me so happy. Right here in this picture was about six girls who God touched, like, touched so much. We were, 5 minutes. Oh, five girls. I was like, I'm already getting the 5 minute mark. Okay. Well, there's five girls, and we were walking down the alley, and there's these girls sitting there, so we just started talking to them, and then I got a word that they liked to write, and so I asked them, I was like, do you like to write? And almost everybody except one said they did, and one of the girls said that she liked to write because it released feelings of wanting to kill herself. And so we got to talk to her about God's love. We talked to all of them about God's love, and they all gave their lives to Jesus, and it was just so powerful right there in the alleyway. And it was so cool. I was just like, wow, God. It was just so simple, too. We were just talking about God's love, who God is, and everything, and they just were like, yes, I want Jesus. And they were willing to repair, you know, everything. And so then another thing that happened when we were in Brazil that just wrecked me was we were going house to house in City of God, and there was this lady who we knew from before. I sort of knew her. I said hi to her once in a while, but then we came to her house and I was talking to her, and I asked her, I said, we just were talking about God to her, God's love. We're talking a lot about Father's love. And when we were talking to her, I just saw God standing beside her as a father. And I asked her, I said, do you have a good relationship with your earthly father? And she said, no, I don't. And so I was like, you know that God is your earthly father, and God is your heavenly father, and he loves you so much, and he'll take care of you. And so I stood right beside her, and I was like, this is exactly what God is for you. He will not leave your side. He loves you so much, unconditionally, forever and ever and ever. And so God was just opening her heart. And then we were done talking and we were about to leave, and she was like, I just asked her, I said, do you want to receive Jesus into your heart? And she said, yes, I do. And so I told her, I was like, but if you want to give your life to Jesus, there's a cost. It's not just, woo, Jesus. I told her, I said, you have to leave behind your life of sin. You have to repent. You have to turn away and don't go back to it. And so I told her all of the gospel and everything, and we shared all of God's love and what he did on the cross. And she was like, she's like, okay, I'm willing. Yes, yes, I'll repent and I'll turn away from it and I'll follow Jesus. And she did. And we prayed with her, and it was just like, it was so powerful. And it was so cool because, like, she was a new creation. You could see it in her eyes. She was shining. Her eyes, you could see life inside of her eyes. You could see her smile was just like beaming. And it was like, God, you just like take us little tiny people from Canton, Ohio, like, and you take us to Brazil to this teeny little alleyway to this little woman and tell her that God loves her. And it just is like, she just gave her heart to Jesus. And it was so simple, and God just used us, and it was so cool. And so I was thinking, like, God, this is who we are as a body, a frontline. This is who we are. God has so much, you know, so many places to go, so many people to reach out to, but I just see us as this extension of Father everywhere we go. So, amen. I don't know who's talking.
Well, I have to grab some tissues because one of the things I'll share, I can't think about it without crying. So the first was healing, actually, that had occurred. Our first week, Tom and I were out with a couple of people doing the house to house, and we prayed with a girl for her mother who had kidney stones. The next week, I was out with another group, and she recognized me. You prayed for my mother. She has no more kidney stones. I said, excuse me? So I through the translator, I said, does she just not currently have pain, or she went to the doctor? She went to the doctor. It's confirmed. No more kidney stones. So praise God. So on that time, that week also, we were praying for a baby who had heart conditions that was through the process of getting healed, but he was still having problems with circulation. And as we were praying for him, I look, this is so good. I look into the baby's eyes, and his eyes were like a deep ocean blue, even darker, deeper than this, just radiating blue with like white spokes coming out through it. And I couldn't take my eyes off of this baby's eyes. And just he's laughing and cooing and just releasing joy as we're praying over him. And so the next day I introduced some of the team members. I said, this is the baby. You have to look at this baby's eyes. And they look at this baby's eyes and they're, what are you talking about, Jill? Those eyes are not blue. So it was then that I knew that I had an honest encounter with the Lord. And he began breaking my heart for the people around me, breaking my heart for every person that he put in front of me, thinking of people back here at home and who I'm going to encounter when I come back home, coworkers, just like, you know, Mike and Justin, I heard them both say, just loving, you know, the people around you. So you can't encounter the Lord, have an encounter with the Lord and not be changed and not be broken for him. So he is good. All the time.
Well, there is so much to say. As I'm sure you're gathering, one of the highlights of all of our times there was the heartfelt connection with these kids. Those of you who have been to Brazil, you know that's such a big part of the experience. For me, I had an experience on several levels, and I can't explain everything in 5 minutes, but just very, very quickly. One of the things I really want to say up front, and that is that I always knew that Troy was an awesome man. He's even awesomer than I thought, because his leadership of the team, his heart for the kids, his listening to Holy Spirit and then communicating Holy Spirit's instructions to us, which, you know, we were carrying a pretty heavy Holy Spirit load throughout our time there, and he did it in such a way that it never felt like a burden. It never felt like we were being pushed into anything. It was just awesome. His leadership skills are amazing. So, Troy, it was really well done. And I have to say that Troy made this mission trip for me the best mission trip I've ever been on with Frontline. The best one by far. It was also it was my first with Frontline. Yeah. The second thing real quickly, and that is the team itself, it was such an amazing synergy of gifts and personalities and characteristics, and it was such a nice flow in leadership skills that was going on. Like someone would step into an area that they had equipment for, and then everyone else would rush into support, and then another need would arise over here and someone else would step into that, we would rush into support, and it was just such a perfect flow with Holy Spirit's leading. It was just awesome. Man. And then the third thing I want to share, and this is a little more personal, you know, prior to going on this mission trip, Ian and I have been part of Frontline for almost 5 years now, 4 2/3 of a year. And the teaching here, as we all know, is amazing. The worship is amazing. The outreaches are amazing. But we've all, I think, probably experienced times when the kind of the frontline DNA, which is very much of a forerunner DNA, it's a mission field DNA, it's a pioneering spirit. What's the word I'm looking for? It's the Navy SEAL kind of ethos. It can feel sometimes like, you know, well, it's a little bit confining, or it's a little bit heavy, or I'm not quite ready for this yet. But when I was on the mission field in Brazil, it's like everything made sense. Everything made sense. All the things that we do, all the crazy 24/7 prayer and the 100 hours of prayer and the gazillion days of worship, you know, they suddenly it dawned on me, this is why we do what we do, because on the mission field, all that training, all that input, all that impartation, all that we carry starts spilling out. And it's just, you become a lot more than you ever think you are because of what happens here for the rest of the year. So that, to me, that was awesome. That was a really great, cool revelation. I want to share just one, I don't know if you have a picture of it, but one story. It was a real highlight for me among a number of really great highlights. We had gone through a really long day, typical day of ministry with the kids. We had a morning session, 2 to 2.5 hours, being with them, putting on programming for them, loving them, praying for them. And then we had a quick lunch break. We did an afternoon session at the other favela, same program, same thing. So that's about 5-6 hours of ministry with a lot of kids. A little tiring, but and Holy Spirit always lifted us up. As soon as we stepped into the mission house to do the ministry, however tired we were, this supernatural energy came forth. Had a quick dinner, went downstairs to put on a third program that day. We were showing a film for kids. Some of us went house to house. Some of us stayed in the mission house to speak with and chat with the kids that came to watch this film. So it's about 10:30 or so at night when all of that is finishing up. The team comes back in from doing house to house. Troy steps in and says, "Hey, Holy Spirit idea. Let's take the sound system down to the local bar, you know, about a quarter mile down the road, and do our drama and worship and dance and preach to the people down at the bar." There's a whole bunch of groups, you know, the big group down there, a bunch of football fans. They had been drinking a lot already. Let's go bring Jesus to them. Okay, now in the natural, I'm thinking, Troy, you've got to be crazy. We're tired, we're exhausted, on and on. But anyway, we all said yes, and we all said yes, you know, willingly. And we go down there, we set up the sound system. One of the little hitches was that somebody had put a bunch of coins into the jukebox machine, and they were not about to stop that music to let us do our thing. So we had to sit there for, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes while this one song played over and over and over again. Same song 4 times, and it was a long song. Anyway, so that finally, but it actually gave us a nice chance to kind of mingle with the crowd and chat with them in our broken Portuguese, and it was quite good. So then we get up, the team of four do their dance for like the 8th time that day, The Fly, which, you know, if you've done The Fly or you've seen it, it's a high-energy cardio workout. And so they did The Fly that day, and everyone had smiles on their faces. And by the way, if you ever want to get a glimpse of joy, of the joy of heaven, watch Bethany's face when she's doing a dance, because that is, even at 11:30 at night after doing the dance 8 times. Okay, so the dance is, it's you know, it's lacking some professional polish, but the crowd in this bar, they're like 20, you know, 25 football fans, a lot of empty bottles of vodka lined up in front of them, and they're, you know, they're jeering and they're ridiculing us and so on, but who cares? The thing that really communicated to them was that we were willing to stand up in front of them and make fools of ourselves for their sake. We were there to love them, to bring this really good news to them. And I know that communicated far more than the dance movements did, although the dance, you know, the dance is cool. And then after that, we did our drama for the 6th time or so that day, the One, if you know The One. Troy, again, in that is awesome. And we had some, you know, technical difficulties with that, but again, it doesn't matter. It's the sincerity of the heart that got us to travel 5,000 miles to do our silly things in front of them so that we could bring Jesus to them. So after we did the drama, Troy gets up to preach. He was given 3 minutes, which in Brazil means like an hour and a half. But he preached for about 20, 25 minutes, gave it an excellent, clear, heartfelt presentation of the gospel. And you could see these guys who were ridiculing us before were now really quiet and very seriously taking in every word. There was such a heavy anointing on Troy's preaching that I think had been cleared away by the sacrifice we made, you know, frankly, to get out there and do our thing in front of them. So that just cleared the path. It changed the atmosphere in that place, and Troy just gave a great message. Out of those 25 people, five raised their hands in front of their peers to say yes to Jesus, which was really amazing. And then the team had time to go out, and with those five, we counseled with them a little bit. We prayed for them. We talked to them. It was just really an amazing night, really an amazing night. And the interesting thing was we passed by that bar every day, two or three times a day. Every time we looked over at it, there was nobody there. So I don't know if we maybe ruined their business, but we certainly shifted the atmosphere in that place, and that was really a highlight for me. And these are, I guess, some of the pictures of people that were saved that night. It was really, really cool. Oh, yeah, that's the group itself. The guy standing, kneeling next to Troy is, the manager of the bar. And he was kind of the ringleader of those that were ridiculing us. He was dancing alongside our group and kind of making fun of us and so on and trying to, you know, he was pretty filled with himself, shall we say, in addition to the other things that he put down his mouth. And yet, Troy had a long talk with him afterwards. He did not raise his hand, but you could see by the look on his face that he was taking everything really seriously. He was really taking it to heart. I mean, just a total shift in his whole persona as a result of what we did. That was really cool. And the woman who cried. Can you?
I just had to share it also. There's this woman who was at the bar also, and before we did the dramas and dances, I was talking to her, and I could just tell that there was shame because she couldn't look me in the eyes. And so after the drama and the dance, I came over to her, and somebody else was praying for her, and she just broke down in tears, and she was just crying, and just God's love was just so touching her, and it was just so cool, because it's like right there in the middle of a bar, and this woman's just crying and getting touched by God, and it was so cool.
Last thing real quick I want to share, and I'll turn it over to Troy to kind of tie things together. The Lord, we every morning we had soaking time, and this is something, by the way, we're going to start to institute in our family, right? Starting this week, we're going to have some morning soaking time around breakfast. It was really such a nice way to start the day. We've been having our private devotions, but now we're going to do like a family soaking time. We had family soaking time there every morning, right before breakfast. Then we'd have breakfast together. Then we would share what God had revealed to us during soaking. In the first session, the Lord gave me a passage of Scripture, John 12:20-26, which is if a grain of wheat falls into the earth and no, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And a lot of this trip for me, and I know for everyone else in the team, was just that. It was we were having to die to self every day in our own unique ways. Whether it was, you know, getting back out there to do something because we were tired and wanted to rest or whatever. You have been overseas and you know what that's like. But the fact of the matter is that when we can get past ourselves, we can bear a lot of fruit. God has put so much into us. I didn't realize how much God had put into me through all the times of impartation, all of the teaching, all of the prayer. Many of you have prayed over me, for me, to me, etc. You... I guess you don't really pray to me. That doesn't make sense, does it? Scratch that. I rebuke myself for that statement. That's not the right statement. You've prayed over me. You've paid. Anyway, you get the idea. So you've poured your heart into me. The Holy Spirit's poured his heart into me through your prayers. And you don't know how much is in you until you have an opportunity to pour it back out again. And you can't pour it back out again if you're so filled up with your own thoughts. Your own thoughts of who you are and what you should be doing and all the hopes and ambitions and desires that you have for your life. You get past that to what God really wants to do with you. And you have to, it's a big step over that hurdle, but man, once you get on the other side, that's where freedom is. That is really where the fruitfulness is. And Troy challenged us early on to be very fruity. He wanted us to be very, very fruity. And we The fruits that were born were amazing, just amazing, as you've heard from these testimonies. So I really, really encourage you today, if you're in a place where you're, for whatever reason, not feeling good about who you are, about who God is to you, about what you're doing with your life, just ask, Lord, am I still on this side of the seed that needs to die? And I want to be on the other side. I want to be on the other side of that death to self. So just lay all that out there. And Troy, if you want to come wrap all that up.
I just want to say that I did not pay Tom to say any of those wonderful words about me. But we had such an adventure. I'm going to come down here. Other than the back can't see me, huh? Should I stay up here? Stay up here? Okay. All right, I'll stay up here. Everyone else got to be down there, but that's okay. Wow. As you can say, it was just, as you heard, it was an amazing, amazing mission. It was amazing because the Spirit of God was moving from the beginning, from the very short two evenings that we had of preparation to we're staying up late doing the dance over and over and over again, and then we're doing the drama over and over and over again. And you have to ask about our fun Holy Spirit songs that we learned while we were there. There are some really good children's songs that are Holy Spirit lift you up songs, but you'll have to ask the team about that because I'm not going to sing it from here right now. But Jill has the best new revelation on I'm a Little Teapot. Let me tell you, there is some anointing pouring out of her spout that was just you could just picture it. It was good. One of the other things was amazing about the trip was not just the synergy on our own team, but with what God has been doing in Casa de Jesus, with Pastor Jerseo, with Inez, what's going on there, what God's been speaking. Our first day there, we woke up in the morning, spent time with the Lord, and God just started giving downloads to the team. And as he's doing that, KG, who is our translator, who actually lived with us the entire time, his amazing heart for the Lord, he's sharing and imparting what the Lord's speaking to him right then, and just whips out Isaiah 35, which is the word that Pastor Mary Pat gave for us for the new year, and just whips it out and starts sharing about it. Had not been there before, had not had something that he just wanted to, did not know about us and what God was speaking there, but whips out Isaiah 35. I do it, you know, every other week. I mean, before the new year, I'd read that verse once every year or three or five, maybe. So it's not exactly your most common scripture in Isaiah, but just the revelation going on between the two churches and the scripture that we shared last week ago Sunday that Tom brought up about accept a grain of wheat, fall into the ground and die. That was the part of the prophetic word that Pastor Jerseo had for 2014. Every year, the Lord gives him some specific verses and plan for the year. And that was the main core verse. And the Lord spoke that to us. And so it was amazing to see the synergy with what God's doing there and how God's connected hearts and what he's speaking in the Spirit to us. He's also speaking to them and vice versa, that there's a flow in that. This is actually a photo at a churrascaria, which is a beautifully wonderful demonstration of Brazilian love for food. However, we kind of had a quote-unquote free day, and in the updates, if you read it, I titled it Free Day or Freedom Day. Because throughout the whole day, we were praying for druggies on the street out in front of the beautiful cathedral. We were, in the top of one of the tallest buildings there, looking out over the city of Sao Paulo, which is huge, just huge. You couldn't even see beyond the buildings in one direction. It was so huge. All the way out to the mountains in another direction. And so just praying over the city and then having a really short trip to the souvenir area, and then getting to the churrascaria here, and just our teams enjoying the Lord, enjoying what's going on, talking to people there. Roberto on the left right next to me, and then the manager's right next to him. The manager was a Christian and just really had felt the Lord had blessed him, raising him up, and started out mopping the floors, and through his faith just really felt the Lord had blessed him and brought him up to being a manager of the place. And then Roberto is one of the servers, and had you know, been in drugs and all sorts of stuff before, and had kind of been coming out of that, and gave his heart to the Lord right there as we were just going to pray for the manager. And he said, "Oh, pray for me too." And as we talked to him, he didn't know the Lord, and shared the gospel with him. He accepted the Lord right there on our free day of sorts. And then from there, we actually went to the Museu de Ipiranga, for those who've been to Brazil before, which is actually the place where independence was declared for Brazil from Portugal back in the, like, 18, no, way before that. It was a while ago. I don't remember the year. As we as a team prayed there with Pastor Joseo, and he shared his heart for the country and the things, the principalities really coming against that country, our team joined with him and prayed for him, prayed for, we had a couple of people that were helping us, Joe Kabecki and Melchizedek de Jesus. What a name. Melchizedek de Jesus, you forgot. Wow. But it was amazing. He was 14, his sister's 18. They helped us in a little bit with translating and guiding us through this tour, but also in City of God, they go out there and minister and just spend a lot of time with our team. But as we prayed over, just saw the Lord breaking things off in the Spirit and releasing life into the country of Brazil. So it was exciting to get to be a part of that as well. And so now, as none of that had anything to do with anything I was going to share, isn't that what Pastor Bill usually says? So we can just start fresh and as if no one said anything for the last hour. No, it's not going to be super long because there's no translator. So I'd like to share just a couple things that we as a team ministered in several different services, just a couple parts of that, because I believe, again, what the Lord's speaking there, he's also speaking here. Tom already started with some of that about the grain of wheat, that if it falls to the ground and it dies, then it can bring forth a lot of fruit. And really that's that grain of wheat's us, as Tom said, it's our life. And I could almost stop on it right where Tom did, because he was just phenomenal teaching this trip, just a fresh anointing flowing through him. He's not paying for this advertisement either. But you could see, even though it was his first mission trip with Frontline ever, glad to know it was his best with Frontline ever, as the first. But it was amazing seeing just a fresh anointing. He's been teaching for years and years, but really hearing the Spirit of God coming through him, just a newness and in the Spirit, just a perfect sharpness to it, just a word in season every time he'd share. And so that was a blessing, and the constant revelations and the freshness that of what God's doing, that some of us who've been on, I've been on at least 5 or 6 trips with Frontline, some of us, maybe per year now. You know, just the freshness of revelation that just kept coming, and seeing that where he said, you know, this makes sense now. It makes sense what we're doing in the nations. It makes sense what we're doing here locally. It makes sense. And that's such a key thing, because if we lose track of I think it was connecting the people over there with the impartation and the watch of the Lord and the throne room stations where we're praying for nations, we're praying for different countries and people, and seeing that in person brought a fresh revelation for him of how important that is and how we're all connected and how all the prayers of this body, even for those who haven't been over there, what you're doing, what you're accomplishing. You made this trip possible to the fruitfulness that even babies' eyes are changing, and Jesus is looking out of children's eyes and these deep blue eyes just wrecking Jill, and really a sign to us of the innocence of the Lord and just his moving. And I don't know if to just fully put that out, that when the team looked, those eyes were not blue at all. It was the same baby. They were not blue. They were brown. They were brown, 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 and it was not even the same ballpark of a color. It wasn't the sun. It wasn't the whatever. It was Jesus spoke to her. Jesus looked at her, and she had an encounter with him, and he really wanted her to know it. But it's for us, too, that he's always looking at us with those eyes of his, and he's wanting us to encounter. So that was such an amazing, wow, cool stuff. When we look at 1 Corinthians 15, there's just a simple little verse there I want to bring up. And I'm really not sharing long, honest. But Paul's talking in 1 Corinthians 15:31, and he says, "I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." I die daily. That simple, that easy, that hard. It's a choice. Which, you know, do we daily choosing to lay it down and say, Lord, to you and for you and your kingdom, for you and your kingdom, I love you. I want to be with you. And you give me the eyes to see what you're looking at for the kingdom. And really capturing that as part of who we are, as a lifestyle of laying down, well, what's best for me and what's easiest for me and what's the most comfortable for me and, you know, what will fill me up and where, you know, what's it, separating out the, as a dead person, you can separate out and see, this is God's dreams and the things he's put in my heart and this is where he's taking me, versus the things where I just want to set up my own agenda, I want to do my own plan, I want to make something happen here, I'm frustrated, I'm this, I'm that. But in that place of dying daily is where we can continually hear the voice of the Lord so we can move forward for life. And really encouraged my heart, our hearts, along with the word from Tom. Kind of in some ways a heavy word, you come in and say, hey, everyone, let's die. Just great. And I know we hear that a bit here at Frontline from Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat about this opportunity to die. And yet in Romans 6:8, if you guys want to flip over there real quick or I'll read it. It's kind of good to not have a translator. It's kind of hard because I usually get that time to get to the next thought. Said, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And the point of the dying is actually in the living. The point of the dying is actually you cross over into the other side. You live, you move into fruitfulness. And that's what the Father has for us. The dying isn't for him. The dying is for us. And so as we die, then we can actually step over, as Tom said, and be on the opposite side of that seed, which is just one little seed. We can step over into the fruitfulness, into the harvest. And that's just cool to me. And I was listening, actually, on the airplane coming back and to Larry Randolph, which if you guys know who that is, he's a prophet in the spirit, and he's a hilarious redneck as well. And he was talking about how the Lord had spoken to him about getting up at 6 in the morning and spending time with him every day. He said, Lord, that's so religious. And he said he fought the Lord for 10 years on it. So religious. Get up every day, same time. And why, Lord, 6 o'clock? And he said, maybe it was because of my partying days before I came to the Lord. And I was up till 6 in the morning. And then I slept till whenever. But in the process, the Lord spoke to him and said, Larry, the 6 o'clock in the morning thing, let me help you out here. It's not for me. I'm really okay. I'm fine. You know, the 6 o'clock in the morning is not for me. It's really for you. You need it. And just that thing of, you know, the Lord is out for our best. He didn't put out the 10 commandments as a way of just saying, do and don't, do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. But it was actually for our benefit. Don't eat pork. Hello. For a long time, there were so many parasites in it that it was very unhealthy. That's part of it. There's a weaving in of, there's a reason behind why God says things. Don't worship other gods. Kind of a dumb thing. But anyways, so 6:8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And there is that resurrection that comes with the dying, that he doesn't leave us as dead, but he actually takes us into new life. And that's the picture of Jesus. It's the heart of the Father that is always to bless and encourage, that when I'm trying to help mold and shape Levi and Isaac, and I'm sure Seth coming along here soon. He's almost at crawling. But, you know, trying to mold and shape, the things that they get so upset about, the no, you can't do this, or we're stopping here, we're shifting here, that they get so upset about are actually to bring life to them, to bring protection, to bring safety, and to recognize that as a good shepherd, our Father is so good with that. And we're also so blessed here to have good shepherds in this house, in the leadership teams, and as Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, as the shepherds the Lord's put here, good shepherds to help. Here, I want to bless you. This is what I see. Here's some things opening up, and here's some areas to watch out for, and things like that as something to help us as we walk in life. And so it's just exciting to see the Lord moving there. And if you could get your husband, Jamie, I don't know where he's at. There he is. All right. I just knew you'd know. You'd have a line right to where he's at. I'm going to have you share in just a minute, Mike. But real quick, before I kind of go into more of the end of what I want to share, John 15 was another chapter that meant a lot to us on this trip. It's something that we're meditating on before the trip. And in John chapter 15, many of you are familiar with it. It says that Jesus is the vine and we're the branches, and that the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that prunes and comes in. And in verse 5, he says what I just said: I am the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. As my Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So much in this whole chapter. I'm just going to leave it at those couple verses where it's so simple. He says, stay connected. Stay connected to me. Stay connected to the vine. You're a branch. Stay connected in that. And anything that's not fruitful, the Lord wants to cut off. When we actually demonstrated this, we brought up Bethany, I think it was, and we were cutting off branches, her branches. And you remember that? Wasn't that fun? She was a tree that was struggling because I had a little water bottle in one hand of the fruit that she had, the fruit that we can do in our own, the fruit we can do in a partially laid down life. But as the Lord, cuts that off, he removes just those things that are okay, that are good. Obviously the things that are bad, heck, we should all have those, Lord, take those off. But sometimes we're holding on to the little fruit and we think it's big fruit. And the Lord cuts that off in his goodness. He said, that's good fruit. That's fruit. That's fruit. I've got more fruit. My purpose and my goal is that you bear much fruit. And he cuts that off. He trims that back. And then I had a bottle of Guaraná, which is Brazilian pop that is really good. It's kind of along the lines of a fruity ginger ale. I love it. It's really good. So I had her holding that, and her branch was sagging just a little bit as I kept talking. She was sagging a little bit, but that's the whole point. With much fruit, the branches kind of hang down a little lower. You can pick that fruit off. But it's so true that he's so good. He's so kind to show us things, to reveal things to us so that we can grow even more fruitful. And we're called to be fruity, as Tom said. And if you were able to look at the update pictures when they were shown here or online, right as we were in the airport in Dallas, Texas, there was this big billboard that was a changing billboard. And they could probably bring that up if you wanted, Andrew. But there was a big sign. And I was going through as we were having a team time, sitting at an open terrace thing that was and eating. There's a sign. I just kept seeing it as we were praying as a team and talking about what God was doing and preparing. But it's this big shish kebab with this succulent meat on it, and these peppers and onions and some pita wraps around it, and it just says nutritious and delicious. And along with John 15 that the Lord had already been speaking to us, it's the heart of the Father is that we be nutritious and delicious for people, that we, as people eat of us, as they partake of us, they're partaking of the Father, they're partaking of his goodness, they're partaking of his abundance, of his plenty. And so there's our team, nutritious and delicious, to Brazil. Again, absolutely phenomenal team, phenomenal heart, and just constantly giving and ministering, and didn't mind that the kids kept saying, do the dance again, Genovo. And since I wasn't in the dance, I'm sure, we'll do it again. We'll add a couple more kids that can do it with you. We'll have a little dance competition. But he says that as we abide in him and his words abide in us, that we'll ask what we desire and it will be done for us. And here's what brings the Father glory, is that you bear much fruit and you'll be my disciples, you'll be my followers. And that's the heart of the Father, just to have us in the family as sons and daughters and be close to him. And that's where he's so faithful in the pruning and the shifting and all that. And so actually, before I go to the next part, we could just close our eyes and let's just pray. Or you can be non-religious and keep your eyes open, whatever you want to. But let's just pray and go before the Lord for a second here and say, Lord, thank you that you are so good. Thank you that you are so good, that you love me enough, that you're willing to say that there's places in my life where I've got seed, I've got great potential, I've got things that you've put in me, in inheritance. But Father, that you're bringing me to a place of dying to myself in this area, of laying that down so that you can bring new life to it, so that you can resurrect it, Father. a place of complete surrender. And Lord, I just pray right now in each heart that you would just touch us, that you would show us those seeds, show us those places of surrender, Lord, that are needed, that we could truly live for you in everything, Lord, even now that you're pruning us. Even this word, Father, today and beyond today, Lord, that this word is something that is going to remain in us because we have the opportunity, as Paul said, to die daily, to put that seed, to put our everything into your good soil and to let you bring great fruitfulness out of it, Lord, that you would get glory. And in that, Lord, you resurrect us. You make us alive. So I just thank you right now. Just talk to our hearts. We'll just take a minute before the Lord and just wait on him. Let him speak to you. Yes, Lord. Lord, just forgive us where we've settled for small fruit in any way. You're proud of us for stepping in to have that, but Lord, there's so much more you have for us. And I thank you for that increase today. There's no condemnation, but it's just an excitement that we can lay those things down and take up our cross and follow you daily. That you'd be glorified, and in that you bring blessing to us. You bring favor to us. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mike, if you want to come up, I want you to share that vision you had.
At the beginning of the trip, we had a time of just soaking in the morning and worship. And I saw this picture. God showed me this real clear picture of a runway. I actually shared it with the worship team this morning. And in it, it was pretty clear. It was like an aircraft, runway, but there were no jets. There was, green grass around. There were some trees, but there was just nothing in the runway. It was just completely empty, and it was very clear, very wide open, and I just felt that the Lord was speaking to my heart, saying, I'm clearing the way. I'm removing anything that's in the way, any obstruction, any hindrance, and just totally clearing the way for what he wants to do. And then I think Troy added on to that shortly after that, which it just took it a step further of, then God wants to take us into the heavenlies so that we can soar, we can fly with him. So he first removes those things in our lives, out of our hearts, through repentance, through cleansing, through just saying, God, here I am. I'm search my heart, show me any area of my life that hasn't brought you glory. And then he takes those things out, and then we can then soar with him. Because it's just not, okay, I'm just going to bury my nose in the ground for the rest of my life, and I'm not going to do anything. That's all I'm going to do. God is saying, no, rise up. I have, there's kingdom business to be done. There's kingdom work to be done, in the nations, in our sphere here locally. So that was just one of the things that he'd showed.
And when Mike shared that, he one of the first things he said is he said, it's a privilege to not live for myself, to live for him. It's actually a privilege. And that's one of the, I think you heard from a lot of them, their heart for being on the trip and everything is, it was a privilege. They were so grateful and thankful, and that we live out our lives recognizing, focusing on the privilege and the gratefulness and the thankfulness of what God's doing. And then that releases so much favor and blessing. It breaks off the yoke of the enemy. And I think there's a word that Pastor Jerseo had that he shared with our team that I believe will be made available, I think, about how dishonor in our life brings death and destruction to our life. And he had some amazing scriptural things looking at the life of Ruth and Naomi and looking at Elijah and Elisha and Gehazi and and the life of David and stuff, but he said that honor releases life, and that there's such a powerful revelation in that, and that honor and that gratefulness to the Lord, thankfulness for what he is doing, what he has done. It's releasing life into our lives, releasing life into our families. And as Mike saw he saw this airway, this runway, and it was being prepared, it was being cleared and everything. And the Lord clearly spoke to me and said, now fly. It's time to fly. It's time to go up and fly. That's what I have for you. I'm not just clearing the junk out of the way. I'm not just moving the debris out of the way. I'm not just preparing a beautiful runway. Here's just a perfect takeoff strip. And the Lord says, well, maybe the next generation, maybe somewhere down the road. But he prepares our hearts. He prepares our lives. He's prepared this body to fly. We're called to fly. And probably, I think it was about a year ago, I had an encounter with the Lord just right up here on the floor. It was, I believe, at a Fire and Wind on a Tuesday night. And it's not a paid advertisement, but it's really a powerful time to encounter the Lord. Please keep coming out and keep encountering there. But as I was before the Lord, and I was kind of feeling a little bit, I don't know, it was refreshing to be connecting with the Lord, as what I recall from that time. I just was really before the Lord and crying out. And he showed me a sea turtle in the ocean swimming. And I just kind of heard these words, slow and steady wins the race. And I was like, yeah, amen. I was. And then as I'm enjoying that little revelation, the Lord says, but I didn't make you to be a turtle. I was all happy about, you know, everyone says, you know, the tortoise and the hare, the sea turtle, you know, slow and steady wins the race. I'm like, this is great revelation, Lord. He said, but you're not a turtle. You're not a turtle. And suddenly I just saw that turtle shoot up out of the ocean as an eagle and fly up into the sky. And he said, you're an eagle. You're not a turtle. So stop. Turtles, it's great. They keep moving. Great. They live long. But they don't get a whole lot of places very fast. They don't get very far. And eventually they get somewhere and they get back. But in the picture he was showing me as an eagle, is I was literally soaring up over. I could see a long distance. I could see what was going on. And there was strategy and there was planning and there was a revelation from the Lord of what was happening. And then there was the ability to respond instantly to the wind of the Spirit and just shift and go over here or go down into this or fly up and around. And it's a, I believe, a revelation for us that we aren't a turtle. Not that turtles are bad. God created them. But he's really created, this is a body of eagles. It's a body of forerunners, as someone mentioned earlier, that's part of this, a forerunner ministry. And there's a calling on this body, on the people in this body, to step into something where we're literally soaring in the Spirit. And that's the point of the preparation. It's the point of the dying. It's the point of the opportunities to die that are given here. The point of praying and fasting before the Lord. The point of going out on the streets on a first Friday in the freezing cold or in the summer or whenever. You know, it's the point of that. Then that becomes a lifestyle of laying down our lives so that we can stay soaring, we can stay seeing, we can stay catching revelation. And he can take us into the things that he's called us for, because there's a lot of places for us to go. There's a lot of places that we have to go, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are. There are places we have to go, and we don't have time to do the little turtle swim. We just don't. Mike, if you want to come up, actually, you know, we don't have a time to do the turtle swim. We've got, you know, the Lord is calling us to soar in the wings of eagles. For whatever time we have left, we're called to soar. And his promise is that as we soar, as we mount up on the wings of eagles, they will run and not grow weary, will not walk and not faint. That's his promise. That's his promise. And the key is staying in his presence. The key is being with him. Rachel and I were talking about this just before the trip somewhere, about how when we are connected to the vine, when we're right now in good relationship and connecting with the Lord, that we can go through a couple weeks of just madness, family stuff going on, things happening, and ministering to people and everything, and just be so thankful, so grateful, so filled up and overjoyed and seeing what God's doing. But if we detach ourselves from that vine a little bit, the withering starts, and you know, then when the attacks of life come and the craziness comes, then we're withering and we're overwhelmed and we're frustrated and we're sad and we're whatever. But the Lord says, stay connected. stay connected and we can soar. Stay connected and we can see the strategy of the enemy, and we can see the strategy of the Lord, and just hear his voice and flow with that. So I just want to, as we've just had a brief moment of asking the Lord to cleanse us, to purify us, to, you know, take those places in our heart that it may be revealed just briefly there as seeds to offer to him, seeds of our own thoughts or ambitions or plans that maybe aren't necessarily his, or seeds of the potential he's put in us, the dreams that he's put in us that we haven't been stepping into, to watch those grow into fruitfulness. So he's calling us, I believe, now to step into a place of agreeing for that life, agreeing for that release. The runway is clear. It's time to fly. The runway is clear. It's time to fly. So as corny as it sounds, if you would like to, I'd just stand up and let's put our wings on. Mike's going to lead some worship. And whether there's something the Lord's still speaking to you about breaking off, that's great. Let him break it off. But let's fly in the Spirit. Let's press in. And I'm just going to ask the team to come up to the front. So if the team could just come up front. They have received a lot of fresh impartation, fresh revelation. They've been flowing in the Spirit. You want a prophetic word? Say, I want a prophetic word. Feel free. They've been giving them. They've been rising up. So feel free to come get a word from them. If you need the agreement in prayer, if you feel like you've not been soaring and you want to soar, you feel like you've not been connecting, you want to connect, as you step in faith and come up, I believe God's going to meet that cry of your heart. You connect with them in your seats, that's fine. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, you're fine. Just fly. But let's put our wings on, Mike. You take us in the Spirit, wherever you're going to take us, and come and receive prayer, because there's a breakthrough. This word comes with a breakthrough. It comes with a release. It comes with a promise of his fulfillment, a promise of his life. So thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.